Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Friday, September 24th. So what is the moral thing to do when more than 10,000 migrants from Haiti reach the U.S.-Mexico border as their country is in a post-earthquake, post-hurricane, post-presidential assassination crisis of food, housing, COVID, and an armed gang reign of terror in many areas? Is it to deport them back en masse? Certainly not, according to whom? President Biden's own special envoy for Haiti, Daniel Foote. Maybe you've heard this by now. It was right after the show yesterday. He made a big statement by resigning with a searing public resignation letter that included these words: "I will not be associated with the United States' inhumane, counterproductive decision to deport thousands of Haitian refugees and illegal immigrants to Haiti, a country where American officials are confined to secure compounds because of the dangers posed by armed gangs in control of daily life." So again, that was a quote from Special Envoy for Haiti, Daniel Foote, his resignation letter to Secretary of State Antony Blinken. We should note that the Biden administration is also being criticized from the right for letting too many of the Haitian migrants in. The screaming headline on the cover of the New York Post yesterday was "Border Lie. Biden said he'd deport Haitians, but he's secretly letting many in." So what's the right thing to do? What would the U.S. do if the migrants were white? Would the conversation be any different? Would you be asking yourself the same questions in the same ways if they were from somewhere like Norway? So let's talk about what's happening and what's the right thing to do. With me now are Anu Joshi, Vice President for Policy at the New York Immigration Coalition, an umbrella policy and advocacy organization that represents over 200 immigrant and refugee rights groups throughout New York, and Tracy Raines, Regional Director in the Resettlement, Asylum, and Integration Unit at the International Rescue Committee, which advocates for and helps to resettle refugees and those seeking political asylum around the world. Some of you may remember Tracy was last here last month to discuss resettling Afghan refugees as the U.S. left that country. We'll touch on the fact that the Afghanistan and Haiti refugee crises are happening at the same time. We know some of you will ask how many refugees from how many places can the U.S. take in at once. Tracy and Anu, thank you for coming on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Happy to be here. Thanks so much, Brian.
And let's start by getting your best takes on what's actually happening with the status of many migrants who are Haitian, who wound up under or around that bridge in Del Rio, Texas. Many of our listeners have at least seen those images. Tracy, the New York Post headline accusing Biden of secretly admitting many Haitians while stating he was deporting them was based on an Associated Press story called "Many Migrants Staying in U.S. Even as Deportation Flights Rise." And in the story, the AP reports many Haitian migrants in Del Rio are being released in the United States, according to two U.S. officials, undercutting the Biden administration's public statements that the thousands in the camp faced immediate expulsion to Haiti. Haitians have been freed on a, quote, "very, very large scale in recent days," one official said. The official, who was not authorized to discuss the matter and thus spoke on condition of anonymity, put the figure in the thousands. So that's from the AP. Do you have any reason to doubt that AP story? And what's your own assessment of who and how many are being allowed to stay and who's being deported?
Thank you, Brian. You know, the number of people that the Biden administration is racing to send back is over 12,000 people back to Haiti. The numbers vary a bit, but the administration is clearly looking to deport and send back over 12,000 people, vulnerable people, to a situation that is obviously devastating in terms of the political situation, the vulnerability to earthquakes and tropical storms obviously happening in the Caribbean. So the administration is certainly racing against the implementation of Title 42, which provides protection, temporary protection for people staying in the United States who have a legal right to seek asylum in the U.S. So Thousands of people are being deported. The administration is racing against the implementation of Title 42, which would allow people to stay under protected status.
So your take on the numbers, just to get that part as straight as we can, you think around 12,000 being deported, around 3,000 being allowed in?
Definitely around 12,000 being deported, which is the number I can, you know, feel comfortable with. I would leave it with the administration to talk about anything more specifically. But certainly in terms of people being, you know, the trend of the administration and their position on this is having people not allowed to stay in the U.S., which is, again, over 10,000, close to 12,000 people.
Anu, the AP story says criteria for deciding who is flown to Haiti and who is released in the U.S. are a mystery, but two officials said deporting single adults was a priority, and if previous handling of asylum seekers was any guide, the administration is more likely to admit those deemed vulnerable, such as pregnant women and families with young children or people with medical issues, and unaccompanied minors are always admitted. So again, that from the AP story. Does that sound right to you?
Yes and no. I mean, what we do know is that in the six flights that left the United States on Monday and Tuesday of this week, reports indicate that over 50% of the plane's passengers were children and families. And so, you know, we should really question the reporting that's coming from the administration. But I really also want to just highlight something that Tracy said. You know, since President Biden took office, his administration has really extended, embraced, and escalated the Trump policy of misusing this Title 42 of the U.S. Code, which for your listeners basically means that America can turn our back on our moral and legal obligation to welcome these refugees with dignity and to allow them to avail themselves of their legal right to claim asylum in this country. And so, you know, we heard a lot from President Biden on the campaign trail about restoring morality to our immigration system. And you know, this is really very far away from that campaign promise.
When you talk about Title 42 and deporting people under that, are you talking about the provision that relates to the pandemic and that the U.S. can only take in a certain number of people under these conditions, where it's not just the Secretary of State, but also the Centers for Disease Control who sets this criterion?
That's right. So at the beginning of the pandemic in March of 2020, President Trump and his CDC issued this very controversial, not really based in public health ruling, you know, implementing these Title 42 expulsions along the southern border. And, you know, we frankly expected President Biden to repeal this really blatantly immoral, horrible policy as soon as he came into office. Really, this is nothing to do with public health anymore. I think it is continues to be a smokescreen to deny people their legal right to claim asylum. You know, these are families that have fled terrible violence, natural disasters, poverty, and they're being met with a closed door, which is really goes against, you know, who we are supposed to be as a country, but also our legal obligations. And so, you know, I find it pretty appalling that the DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas just, you know, recently said that if you come to the United States, you know, seeking asylum, you will be returned. Your journey will not succeed, is what he said. And he really has no right to say that. We have laws that govern how we treat people. And all we're asking is that they be followed.
Tracy, to follow up on that, if you want to comment on the pandemic context of this, you know, one of the complaints from the right is that the U.S. won't allow anybody else to even fly into the country with papers unless they're vaccinated. but here we are with thousands of people coming across the border undocumented, and the sympathy being extended by many people to allow them in and not even asking about their vaccination status. Is that hypocritical? Is that a contradiction? How would you address that?
Well, you know, I think Americans believe that the U.S. is a place for refuge and for people fleeing violence and persecution. And those contexts do need to come into place when we're considering, you know, prioritization of people in different circumstances. It is not a complicated concept to provide vaccines when people arrive, to provide testing when people arrive. These are things that can be put in place very reasonably. So the idea that people would be coming without any of these in place is something that can be remedied before further travel into the U.S. I think that's not a reason enough to prevent people fleeing such conditions in such a recent situation of violence in Haiti. And again, as my colleague mentioned, availing themselves to the law and international law that they have a right to do. So I think it's a bit of a smokescreen. I think that these are things that are easily remedied within the resources we have in terms, again, of vaccines and testing to ensure that people come in an orderly and reasonable fashion.
Are they imposing a vaccine mandate as they admit people? The AP says many who are being admitted don't have to report to an immigration judge for 60 days. So what happens in the meantime? I mean, on the humanitarian side, Tracy, is there temporary resettlement help, or are people with nothing just being released from the camps, but then what do they do? And on the other side, are they being required to get vaccinated before they enter the communities?
I can tell you in a similar circumstance with the Afghan relocation situation that we're also involved in, heavily involved in, they're definitely being provided vaccines, testing, and all of the sort of vaccines that are necessary to safely be part of the public health and part of our communities. So this is not a far-fetched concept to provide. I'm quite sure it's possible to do and is being considered when people are coming into the U.S.
And as far as temporary resettlement help?
Same. I mean, it's a, you know, the resettlement agencies are prepared and preparing and need resources to provide these services. But, you know, as I think we all know, the Trump administration really undermined, gutted, almost decimated the U.S. resettlement program in terms of capacity, resources, structure to provide services for people that we have done for, you know, generations. And, you know, looking to those resources for resettlement agencies to continue to provide public health-related, social-related services is essential for both our Afghan people relocating from Afghanistan as well as Haiti. So we are here to do that, ready to do that, and like anything, need the resources to continue to do that in a robust and safe and productive way.
And Jovan in Queens, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, Brian. Long time listening. First, I call you.
So glad you're on.
I love your show. Brian, as a Haitian, it's like you have a kids running out from the yard and let you know there is a wolf on the yard. And then you push them out, you close your door. Just to give you an example, how Americans so involved in Haiti, they are the one to give you president. If you choose, they not accept with him, and then you're not going to get that. That's when you, I was hearing you talking about legal process to have asylum. Even you go with the embassy in Haiti, they give like 1,000 people appointment to go to the embassy while you're paying $200 by appointment. And then they're going to give only 10 people visa to come on the United States. And now those people are paying $5,000, $3,000, $8,000 for a family of three. And then they come here to save their life after gang, after the government. And then you try to kick them out again while you let all the Afghan come on this country. What is that?
Jovan, I hear you. Let me follow up on one thing that you said at the beginning of your call about the U.S. determining or influencing who's in power in Haiti. And I understand that there's a controversy about that taking place again right now, that the U.S. is supporting the current embattled prime minister, and some Haitians are questioning, why are you taking sides in this political dispute right now? We don't know if that's the best person to run our country during this crisis. Is that your opinion?
No, this guy is not. They're all involved on the key and the assassinate of the president. They're all involved. Haiti is a puzzle. Unless we find all the pieces, we won't resolve no problem on Haiti. Americans don't want Chinese to get in. Americans don't want no their country from international country to get in to help Haitian. And then by the same token, they're not going to help you the way you want. They're still in the same situation with France as a result of kick Napoleon Bonaparte army out. That's the problem we're in.
From the original Haitian Revolution back just after the turn of the 19th century. Jovan, thank you very much. Call us again. Shahid in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Shahid.
Hey, Brian.
Hi, Shahid, is that you?
Hi, morning. I'm a Secretary General of Pakistan, USA Freedom Forum. Brian, it's a wonderful guest you have when Immigration Coalition New York and the Refugee Agency, I'm really thankful for them that raised this thing. And first of all, thanks to the person who resigned and showed that we have a people of conscience in this country and he sacrificed for just to raise this issue. This is all depend on the Americans' policies of the double standard, to be honest with you. Years and years, we don't have any immigration policy. And nowadays, it's very hard, politically and economically. People are suffering, especially in Haiti at this moment, which is maybe the third country involved. They go to Argentina and then come back to our borders. And then we're deporting the people who's over here, knowing this thing that they're back home, even they are on the status TPS in this country, and they have the problem in their country, and we are sending them back. And where is this our vice president? She was a special envoy to this kind of stuff, I think, solving the problem of the refugees on the borders, conditions of the people, humans. And she was right that it's international law. We signed the some kind of conventions and treaties. Anybody who came to our borders and say, I'm sorry, I took hand, I'm peacefully, that I have a problem in my back home, my life, my family, we should have to give them a refugee status. And this person has to see the judge, not these officials, which is the very brutal officials of our country who's dealing with the humans.
Shahid, comrade, thank you very much for your call. And Anu, as we run out of time, by the time the last U.S. evacuation flight got out of Afghanistan, there were more than 100,000 people in that evacuated status, many living temporarily on military bases and things like that. There's also an Afghan community in the New York area. Can you give us an update on how the resettlement process is going in this area? We get calls from listeners frequently asking how they can help.
Yeah, so we estimate that a little over 1,000 Afghan refugees will be coming to New York. And because unlike, you know, as Tracy mentioned earlier, because they're mostly being admitted in this humanitarian parole status, they won't have long-term access necessarily to government-funded services through resettlement agencies. And so we think it's really critical for New York State and our cities and counties to step up. The other thing I want to mention, I want to build off of what Tracy said and something you said, Brian, at the very beginning of the show, is that what we also know is that our immigration system, like many of our other systems, has a long it's been long grounded in racism, and we should not lose sight of that. That, you know, we saw that really highly disturbing images and accounts from how these Haitian migrants were being treated by Border Patrol on the southern border. And we should really, you know, challenge ourselves. And I hope the Biden administration fully investigates and holds people accountable for their inhumane actions, and that you know, I hope everyone listening, everyone who's been paying attention, all Americans are really enraged at what is happening right now and how we are treating human beings that are seeking our protection.
Anu Joshi, Vice President for Policy at the New York Immigration Coalition, and Tracy Raines, Regional Director in the Resettlement, Asylum, and Integration Unit at the International Rescue Committee. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.